భగవద్గీత 6.46 తపస్విభ్యోధికో యోగి యానిభ్యోపి మతోధికః కర్మిభ్యశ్చాధికో యోగి తస్మాద్ యోగి భార్జున. సో హియర్ కృష్ణ ఇస్ నౌ సమరైజింగ్ ది message of the sixth chapter, and he is comparing the various paths he has described earlier, and he is describing how the path of yoga is the best. So karmibhyaschadhiko yogi. Karmi refers not to a karma yogi, it refers to a karma kandi. That means it refers to a person who is a fruitive worker who pursues religion for the sake of sense gratification and material prosperity, dharma for artha and kama, that is a karmi. So Krishna is saying, as compared to such a karmi, karmibhyascha adhiko yogi. Now Krishna has mentioned about karmis primarily in 2.42 and 43, where he talks about yamumam pushpitam vacham pravidantya vipaschitaha, and he stated how such karmis are non-discriminating and Arjuna should go beyond being such karmis. So in this chapter itself he has used the phrase shabda brahmati vartate purvabhyasena tenaiva riyate yavashobhisah jigyasurapi yogasya shabda brahmati vartate. So he said this in 6.44. So Shabda Brahmati Vartate means it means one who goes beyond the range of Shabda Brahma, that is the range of the Vedas, and specifically the range of the rituals within the Vedas, the rituals for Karmakanda within the Vedas. So why is a tapasvibhyo karmibhyascha adhiko yogi? Why is a yogi greater than a karmi? Because a karmi gets temporary results. The results of the path of karmakanda are elevation to heaven, which is temporary. And Krishna will specifically say this in 9.21, when he will state, Tetam bhuktva sargalokam vishalam shine punne martyalokam vishanti. So at that time he will state that those who attain heaven will also fall back to the earth again. So whereas the result of the path of karma is temporary, the result of the path of yoga is eternal. So karmibhyascha adhiko yogi. Tapasvibhyo adhiko matah karmibhyascha adhiko yogi jnanibhyascha adhiko matah tapasvibhyodhiko yogi tasmad yogi bhava arjuna. So further Krishna is talking about two more processes, the path of tapa, and the path of jnana. Actually Krishna talks about karmibhyaschadi yogi in the last line, and so among the three lines which is talking about, the first he says is tapasvibhyodhiko yogi. So tapasvi is one who performs austerity. Now tapasvi, yogi may also perform tapasya. For example, going to a forest and living amidst the austerity of the forest, that is definitely at one level a tapa. But the tapa being doing tapasya or being a tapasvi is not the defining characteristic of a yogi.
the defining characteristic is yoga or connection with the absolute truth, the pursuit of the absolute truth and the connection with the absolute truth, the diligent practice of the process for connection with the absolute truth. In contrast, for a tapasvi, the defining identity is doing tapasya. So if one does austerity without knowing what is the purpose of the austerity, without gaining spiritual growth through the pursuit of the practice of the austerity, then that is not spiritually as conducive as the practice of yoga. Because by austerity, one may give up one's connection with gross matter. When we do austerity, we may fast, or we may not take certain items. We may avoid certain items of sense gratification, which is all very good. But even when we do that, tapasvibhyo adhiko yoga, Krishna says, we may give up gross matter, but we may increase our attachment to subtle matter. Because we may be very attached to our opinions, and we may be very attached to our reputation for renunciation. If that happens, then we are actually not disconnected from matter. We are only disconnected from gross matter and more strongly connected to subtle matter. We are more strongly connected with our false ego. That means we are not identifying ourselves as souls who are servants of God. We are identifying ourselves as people who are as tapasvis, who have far greater capacity for austerity than common people. And we get, since we get a sense of superiority, and that sense of superiority binds us very strongly to the false ego. In fact, binds us more strongly to the false ego than what anything else may have bound us. So in that sense, tapasvibhyo adhiko yogi. Tapasya is an element of the path of yoga, but tapasya is subordinated and harmonized with the essential purpose of yoga, that is connection. And that, if somebody is not having that, then the yogi who focuses on connection and subordinates tapasya with the pursuit of that connection with the spiritual reality, with the spiritual truth, that yogi is better. Jnanibhyo pimato adhikaha. Jnanibhyo. So jnani refers to one who has knowledge. Now, who is Krishna is telling that jnanibhyo pimato adhikaha. So is the chastisement be such that the process of cultivating knowledge itself has to be given up for the practice of yoga? Or is the process of cultivating knowledge inimical, incompatible with the process of yoga? No, not at all. The point is that yoga can be jnana can be harmonized with yoga as long as the pursuit of some intellectual titillation or intellectual domination doesn't distract one from the yogic destination. The yogi destination is the transcendental truth. Even if the yogi doesn't know what the ultimate transcendental reality is, still the yogi is aiming for transcendence. Whereas in the path of jnana, even when one is inquiring through intellectual analysis about what is the absolute truth, you know, the joy at the level of intellect can often be quite intoxicating. pen. So writers get some idea about how to write. When scientists, some get insight which leads to a discovery. It's quite a thrilling experience. And this is about things which are connected with the world usually. What to speak of things which are connected with, in some way, with transcendence. So, even on the path of transcendence, if one gets more intoxicated with jnana than the object of jnana, then that person is a jnani, but the person does not become a jnana yogi. So, jnana yogi is one who is using the path of jnana to practice yoga. Krishna is not talking about that per se over here. Krishna is person talking here primarily about an intellectual. And a person who is intellectual, certainly, the person may be on the path of transcendence, but still, the absolute truth is not understandable merely by jnana. And so one needs to move onwards in one's journey to stay focused in connection with the absolute truth. So jnanibhyopi matodhika means that a person who is merely on the intellectual platform cannot get the transcendental destination, whereas a yogi, by staying fixed in the pursuit of transcendence, will get the transcendental destination. So in this way, Krishna in this verse explains how the jnani is better than the karmi, because the karmi is seeking a temporary destination, better than the tapasvi, because the tapasvi simply may get satisfied. The karmi may get satisfied by just heavenly pleasure. The jnani, the tapasvi may get satisfied by the capacity to control and dominate and subordinate the body, to conquer the body. And the yogi may, the jnani may get satisfied by in the joy of intellectual insight without necessarily getting spiritual insights. So whereas the yogi focuses on the spiritual destination, and that's why the yogi is the highest. And among all yogis, which is the highest yogi, that Krishna will explain in the next verse. Thank you.